Well, it's been a long time since most of us were teenagers. I trust I'm not insulting anybody by saying that. It's certainly true for me. But if we remember anything, we probably remember a few moments when certain emotions seem to take over our minds. Does that ring any bells or bring up any memories for anyone? Along with some nice positive memories, I hope, there are certain memories that still have the power to make us feel the anxiety or embarrassment that took over us. And many of us know what it was like for other teenagers in our lives too, whether our children or our grandchildren or other teenagers in our lives. Now, why am I talking about being a teenager? Well, it's because it's the subject of one of the big hit movies of the summer called Inside Out 2. I added the for the soul part, in case you're wondering. And yeah, I probably broke some copyright laws, but just for us. The main character in this movie is a 13-year-old named Riley, who loves to play hockey and is very anxious about impressing her coach and her new teammates and about making new friends in her new school. And actually, the main characters are all the emotions inside Riley's mind. So there's Riley in the top left corner. And inside of her mind, battling sometimes for control, are all the other characters that are part of Riley. Joy, sadness, disgust, fear, anger. Those are the first emotions that we meet in the first movie when she's younger. But now that she's a teenager, we discover and meet some new powerful emotions, starting with anxiety, envy, embarrassment, and ennui, which is the boredom. Now, why are we talking about this movie? Well, it was 10 years since our oldest in our family was a teenager, but I can remember powerfully those emotions that sometimes pushed aside all other emotions and thoughts and took over Luke's life. I remember when that happened in my own life, and I think if we're honest, it's not just teenagers that experience that, right? Sometimes one or other of these emotions have a tendency to take over. There's a battle going inside of all of us. And the reason I thought it would be great to talk about this today is that I read an article that compared the maturation process, the process of making sense of all these different forces struggling for control in our emotional lives, really kind of parallel the forces that sometimes struggle for control and power in our spiritual lives as well. The thing that creates conflict or the battle inside of Riley is kind of like the battles that go on inside of us when it comes to our faith. And it is about growing up. It's about maturing. The faith that we start earlier in our life with, whether it's as children or as adults, is not the same faith that we continue to live life with later on in our lives as we grow. It's a similar process of growing up in the faith. And in two different places, we heard the scriptures today talk about what it means for us to grow up into full maturity as members of the body of Christ, as people who are deeply connected to God. So let me share with you, and don't worry if you haven't seen the movie. I imagine most of you haven't. Who has seen it? I know Jamie has seen it. Anybody else? Okay. Well, I promise I don't have any shares in Disney or Pixar, but I do think it's worthwhile. So let's share a very short clip where we'll meet some of the characters and the big surprise. Oh, we'll need to turn up the sound and maybe start it again. Maybe on the soundboard, yeah. So we're going to meet the characters and the surprise they have when they have to meet the new characters. Okay, maybe unplug the headphones and see if you can change the audio setting. Sorry, folks. We thought we had worked out all the kinks, but we found one more.
This is Joy, coming to you live in Riley's mind. Make some noise! Hey. Sadness is in the house! It's anger!
Let me at him!
We gotta get our mouth guard, people!
Fear!
No, that's not Eric!
Disgust! Glad to have her on our team.
Our little girl's growing up so fast.
Ow. Sorry.
It should be nothing but smooth sailing.
Hello. Ah! I'm anxiety. Where can I put my stuff?
A new emotion.
Oh, I'm sorry. We wanted to make such a good first impression.
What do you mean, we?
Let me catch you up. Riley's officially a teenager now.
Which means more emotions. Anxiety.
Hello.
Ah! On we. Envy and embarrassment.
So there they are. Now, there aren't direct parallels to all these characters in our spiritual lives. At least I haven't come up with them yet. But I wonder if you think about when you first encountered faith, whether it was the Christian faith or another faith, or when you were first introduced to the story of Jesus, maybe it was Christmas. What stands out for you in your first memories, your introduction to your faith? And I'm fairly certain that what you believed at that time may not be the same as what you believe now. Unless, of course, you've just encountered faith in the last few months or even year. But maybe it hasn't changed much yet in that case. But for most of us, our faith has changed. And not without some turmoil, right? Have you ever had trouble with the community of faith that you were part of, whether it was here or somewhere else? You don't have to answer out loud. Have you ever struggled with what someone was saying up front at church and whether you believed it or not, or whether you felt the same way? Have you ever felt like, well, what other Christians are saying out in the media, that doesn't sound like anything that I can support? Have you had that experience? Have you ever had that moment, sometimes it's the end of innocence, where the faith that meant so much to you growing up, the stories, the songs, the experience, something happened in your life and it just didn't hold water in the same way. It was just hard to maintain. Does that sound like a familiar experience in your life? No? Some of us have much the same faith that we grew up with. Yeah? Some of us not so much. And that's part of the struggle. These days, the world is talking about, well, the big news a lot these days is what's happening with the elections in the United States. We have Christians who say for them that they have to support one candidate in particular because that candidate supports their views. And some other Christians are wondering, how on earth do you come up with that? Right? And it may be a little less extreme, but those polarized views are here in Canada too. Very much so. Christians who claim to follow Jesus insist vehemently that their faith leads them to support a particular party or candidate or position that seems diametrically opposed to what I think my faith tells me to do. How do we make sense of that? There are conflicts, dissonances, paradoxes in our faith. I realized I picked the first hymn today thinking that it was a familiar hymn to all of us because I grew up with it, but I'm not sure it was so familiar to the rest of us. No, I'm seeing some shaking of the heads. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? We have an anchor that keeps the soul. I grew up with that hymn, so I apologize if I assumed incorrectly that even though we grew up in similar traditions, many of us, that we knew the same hymn. But it communicates the idea that our faith gives us an anchor, that God gives us an anchor that's grounded firm and deep in God's love. And then, for some of us, later on in our life, we might encounter the paradoxes of our faith. God is sometimes referred, well, Jesus is referred sometimes to the Lamb of God and sometimes to the Good Shepherd. Well, which is it? Is Jesus a lamb or a shepherd? Both. They're both important metaphors. Is God full of power and beyond us? Yes. Is God weak like Jesus on the cross and right here beside us? Yes. Or is God within us and part of all that is? Yes. Well, which is it? Sometimes people who come from other faiths find it difficult to understand. Do you believe in three gods or one God? You talk about Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Is it three or is it one? Well, yes. It's three and it's one. God is one. God is all. God is love. We use all kinds of different ideas and metaphors to understand God, to express who we feel God is, and how we relate to God and to each other. It creates dissonance, paradox. So sometimes the way some of us and some Christians will deal with those paradoxes is that we will jettison them. We will toss them out. We will make a decision. This is what I believe. I don't believe that other stuff. The people who do aren't really Christians. This is where I stand. It's a little bit like what happens inside of 13-year-old Riley, who's trying to develop her sense of self and tries to ignore and forget about, toss away the negative experiences of her life. Let's go to the next clip.
Behold, my super high-tech Riley protection system. Don't look, it's fine. This is for all those memories that belong in the back of the mind. Like this penalty one. It's weighing on her, so let's lighten the load. A one-way expressway to... We're not gonna think about that right now. Woo! That's pretty impressive.
You take such good care of Riley.
Thanks, I try. Okay, let's do a sweep.
Oh, here's one where she waved at a guy who was actually waving at a girl behind her.
Oh, that was so bad. Good choice.
Oh, here's when she forgot that girl's name.
Oh, yeah, that was super awkward.
What was her name?
I don't know, Janet or something. Whatever, let's just get rid of it. Oh. We keep the best and toss the rest. Whew.
We keep the best and we toss the rest. I think there's times when we all do that. Where we just, it's like, don't confuse me with other things. This is what I believe. This is who I am. This is what it means to follow Jesus. Don't give me that other stuff. And we toss it away. But there's a problem with that emotionally, as we discover later in the movie, and I won't spoil it for you, because I do think you should see it if you can. But there's a problem with tossing away those memories, because the negative memories, the negative experiences of our lives, teach us so much, and they give us resilience to weather the other storms in our lives. And it's similar with our faith. The paradoxes, the contradictions, the different perspectives of different people from different faith traditions challenge us. They make things difficult, but they help us to form healthy, mature identities as people of faith. I have sadly met many people, well, some people, who, even though they have been part of the Christian community for most of their lives, when their life hits a very serious crisis, the death of someone they deeply love, or some other tragedy in their life, a terrible conflict with someone in their family or a friend, it takes their faith away. Their faith is not able to withstand that conflict, that dissonance, that paradox. And this is why it's important for us to talk about what it means to grow up in the faith. Just like it's important for us to emotionally grow up and learn to deal with the contradictions of life, people we don't agree with, who don't treat us well, embarrassments, mistakes we make. It's important to remember those because we learn from them, and they remind us that, you know what, we've been through rough times before and we can get through it. And they teach us, who can we trust? Who helps us to get through the difficult times in our lives? And in our faith, it's the same. How do we cultivate a faith that's grounded firm and deep in God's love? A faith that is solid and doesn't move, but also can get rocked in storms like a boat in a storm, or the trees on the coast, which we've seen battered by winds and storms. How can we be flexible enough but rooted firm and deep in our faith? Well, sometimes our anxieties take over. And that's what happens. It's the last spoiler for this movie. Let's take a look.
Truly sorry. I was so looking forward to working with you guys.
What do you think you're doing?
Get off me.
Riley's life is more complex now. It requires more sophisticated emotions than all of you. You just aren't what she needs anymore, Joy.
How dare you, madam?
You can't just bottle us up.
Oh, that's a great idea.
It's not forever. It's just until Riley makes varsity, or until she turns 18, or maybe forever. I don't know. We'll have to see.
So Riley, in her struggle to fit in, make new friends, she bottles up some of her core emotions, and that causes havoc in her life. When we bottle up our experiences of faith or our experiences of the world, when we try and forget about them or ignore them, it's not good. It's not good emotionally. As it says here, our emotions are meant to be felt, even the hard ones. It's okay to feel what you need to feel. Next week, I'm going to be conducting a memorial service for some folks down at Swasson United, where they're without a minister for a short time. And so I'm filling in, and it was a fairly young person, a person in their 40s, who died. And when a family deals with that kind of pain, and there are many other complications in life, it's hard not to just bottle up and ignore, put it away. That's the way we cope sometimes, and it's okay for a short time. Sometimes it's necessary. But eventually, we've got to let those emotions out and express our grief, express our joy, and our deep sadness, our anger, all of the feelings. For the sake of the movie, they couldn't give us a cast of hundreds, but there are hundreds, really. And the parallel is similar for us in faith. You'll see in the next slide. Our soul goes through many changes too, just like we do emotionally. And all the different ways of connecting with God are worthwhile for exploring and maybe changing. If we're not open to change in our faith, well, the same thing can happen to us that happens when we're emotionally not willing to change or able to. We get stuck. We might become rigid or closed off, bottled up like those emotions. Not healthy, because it leads to maybe later an explosion or a collapse, an implosion of mental illness. Similarly with our faith, we need to be open to changes, to integrating our experiences of life with what we believe about our faith, to hold on to and develop who we are as people, people of the Spirit. So friends, you are invited to continue to grow, to explore, to not throw away and toss out the negative experiences, both emotionally and spiritually, but to remember that we are grounded in a love deeper than we can imagine, greater than we can know, that we are held in God's love, which is beyond rationality, but also can be deeply understood. It's okay for us to change. We are still beloved. We are always beloved. And we seek to grow in the beloved community. Amen.